Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 26th verse. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Years ago, when I was in seminary, I was working at a store in town here. And one day, one afternoon, I believe on a Saturday, a 15-year-old boy was dropped off at the front of the store and came in to do some shopping. And apparently I found out later that his mom had given him some money to go in and buy a very expensive fishing lure that he wanted to fish with. And within 5 minutes, our security guard caught him shoplifting that fishing lure. And I was called to come and serve as a witness to recording all of this and sat in the office with this young man. And we had to wait for his mother to come. She was only a few blocks away and at work, apparently, and came back in, and sat and listened to the details of his crime and how he had done this and so on. And I remember he sat there feeling so ashamed, and she said to him, "I just gave you $20 to buy that lure. Why would you steal it?" It's interesting that she wanted to know what the motive was in his heart. It wasn't the action that was at question. Is what was going on in your mind and in your heart? Why, when you had the money, why would you want to steal this? And the boy tried to explain that he wanted to use the money on other things, not just on that fishing lure. The subject that St. Paul is addressing for us in our text today deals with matters of the heart, matters of our minds, things that are kind of hidden down inside of us, and yet things that so often can cause us to go into sinful things with our lives, with our hands and with our eyes and with our mouths and so on. St. Paul says very simply inside of our text, do not give place to the devil. Do not give place to the devil. It's an interesting Greek word, place or position. It's the same root word from which we get the word topography. It has to do in some contexts with a place where you could rule, boundaries and property that you could rule from. The NIV translates this expression, a foothold. Do not give the devil a foothold. The NASB translates it, do not give him an opportunity. Very interesting word. And Paul now provides us with some of the sins where this can happen, where the devil lodges himself in our hearts and in our thinking, and when that goes unchecked, how it causes us to get involved in other things. Anger is one of the things that he brings up. And yes, there is a righteous anger. There is a time and a place to be angry that can be done without sin. Our Lord himself was angry as he drove out the money changers. But in our sinful human hearts, it can easily turn into spite. And it can easily turn into an inability to forgive someone. Or theft. Coveting something else that somebody else has. You could bring in matters of the sixth commandment with sexual sins and adultery. They all begin down in the heart, the motive that is evil, and then comes out in various ways. They all start there in the mind. And when they go unchecked, when those evil thoughts and concepts go unchecked in us, they produce outside of us some horrific things. There's a tribe in Africa, maybe some of you have heard me refer to this before, but there's a tribe in Africa that likes to catch and slaughter and barbecue monkeys. Sounds good. And in order to do this, they dig a small hole in the ground and they carve out a kind of a pocket where they put a gourd down in under the ground. And then up on the top, they seal the hole so that it's just narrow enough for the monkey to get his hand and wrist through. And yet once he grabs the gourd, he cannot pull it back out. And apparently the monkeys want to possess the gourd so much when they grab it that they won't let go, and they'll sit there until the hunter comes and takes him away. When it comes to the sins in our lives and the temptations that we have, what are the gourds that you and I are tempted to grab onto? What is it right now in my life, in your heart, that is causing us to hold on to something that can potentially cause our spiritual destruction? Dr. Walther says this: "How foolish it is for people to think they can hope for God's grace while they continue to cling to open or secret sins. Such people make a devil out of God. For it is the devil, not the holy God, who takes no notice of sin." So what Paul is getting at for us here too is there is a spiritual danger to procrastinating when it comes to our repentance. The longer we wait to go about that spiritual activity worked in us by the Holy Spirit, the longer we push that activity away and don't truly repent and let go of our sin, the more it tends to infect us. It infects our thinking. It infects our lives. It causes us to become weaker spiritually and less concerned about Christ, less concerned about His forgiveness, less caring about getting to heaven, more concerned about earthly things. If we latch on to something that's sinful and we refuse to let it go because we love it so much and we fail to repent of it, it will ultimately infect us and it makes us weaker and weaker and even less able to ultimately repent. It gives the devil a powerful advantage over us, a foothold, a stronghold for us. And so St. Paul gives this beautiful, simple little line: "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Don't let the end of the day come without having checked inside of you from a spiritual perspective your motives and what's going on in your heart to bring them before God in repentance. Don't even let the sun go down at the end of the day without having done this, to cleanse yourself through that wonderful gift of repentance that the Holy Spirit works in us. And this will not allow the devil to continue to have his claws in us and to sink down roots in us. There is a wonderful, beautiful cleansing power in daily repentance. And the Bible is full of examples of those who at one time fell into particular sins, some of them pretty horrific, and yet by God's grace were brought back to repentance and were restored, in fact, quite often even made leaders in His church. St. Paul tells us, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind," as he wrote to the Romans. God, for Christ's sake, has chosen to set aside His wrath toward us, to burn it all on His Son instead of on you and me. And He has caused His Son to come into this world with one mission in mind, and that is to think what was best for you, what would be the most profitable for you, what would benefit you the most, to have Him go and offer the great sacrifice and to live the perfect life in order to give all of that to us so that we could have peace with God. This is a principle of biblical spiritual economics, as one commentator said, that we now as Christians who cling to Christ and have benefited from Him do not just live for ourselves, but live to benefit others. And in so doing, this will be a tiny reflection of the great love and grace that God has shown us in Christ. And so we should take our spiritual energy and put it into those things that will benefit others and will benefit our Lord's church. Paul says this about those who have the problem of stealing. He says, "Labor and work with your hands what is good so that you can do what is profitable for someone else." That's one of the great blessings, too, of just honest labor for us in our day-to-day lives. It fills our times with things that are profitable for others, and it fills our lives with things that are, in a sense, a tiny little reflection, then, of that same wonderful grace that God has shown us, how He, through His Son, cared most about what would profit us in our lives, Amen.